copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
The topic for this workshop is how to communicate the Christian worldview in the public square. How to communicate the Christian worldview in the public square. And the public square, it's a rather large definition. So I just to clarify, in my situation, and what I know something about, is to communicate as a Christian in the media, in the secular and in the general media. I have been regularly participating in TV debates, radio debates, and newspaper debates in Norway for 15 years. As one of not many evangelical Christians doing that in Norway. But we are a small country. And I really have to say that although it could be a bit tough to discuss controversial topics in front of the secular media, it's also tough for me to present this in English. I really like to communicate in Norwegian, but I guess that's out of the question now. So I will try, but I'm not very experienced in having talk in English, but so it is. I'm a theologian. I have worked all my life almost in Norwegian Lutheran mission, working with information. I have been a missionary to Peru. I have also a master's degree in philosophy. And as part of this job, I have been defending in the public media the Christian perspective on controversial issue. And I will start by saying that some says to me that what I really know most about is to communicate a classical Christian perspective on different isolated topics like gender issues, surrogacy, euthanasia, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, abortion, that kind of topics. That's what I know about. And some critical comment is like, you are not presenting the Christian worldview when you get into those kind of discussions. And far less are you presenting a Christian message about Christ. You are presenting your view, a Christian view, on isolated ethical questions. And some would justify that critique by saying also that the context for those kind of debates are, should the state, should we accept so or so, or should we legalize this or that? And the Christian message about grace, about forgiveness, about salvation, it's so different. It's not about those ethical questions framed in this, should we accept so or so, should we legalize this or that. So wouldn't it lead to misunderstandings when evangelical Christians are participating in those kind of debates? Could one misunderstanding be that being a Christian, it's all about having the correct opinions? With other words, do I really communicate a Christian worldview, which is the topic for today, or do I just present some ethical perspectives on controversial issue? And the question is something like this: is it at all possible to communicate the Christian worldview when getting into discussions about ethical questions in a secular context? Or will Christians evidently, when participating in those debates, present themselves more like some kind of politicians than a Christian thinker or even a Christian preacher? And I have thought a lot about this, I hope. And I really want to take that kind of objections really serious. And I will start, and I will follow the outline that has been published, of course, in the app. I have, as you see on that outline, I have three kind of responses to this objection. And the first response is that the will of God, which is the foundation when we get into discussions about ethics, the will of God says something about what the Christian worldview is all about. I think that when Christians are discussing ethical questions, we are in some sense at least presenting also a Christian worldview. Of course, we are not presenting the whole worldview, but important ethical perspectives are a part of what we believe, what is important for us as Christians. For example, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to marriage, and there are discussions about those questions, when Christians present their perspective, we say something important about the will of God. We say something important about how God created man to man and woman. We say something about our worldview. And our Christian worldview should be an integrated whole. And as a part of that integrated whole, we have some commitments to the will of God. Nevertheless, I sympathize with those thinking that people may misunderstand what Christianity is all about if all we do is talk about ethical questions. But I don't think the solution is to abstain from those discussions and say nothing about marriage or abortion or homosexuality or gender issues and all these kind of topics. I think the solution is to talk about it wisely, biblically inspired, and try to show that those topics that may look a bit isolated, they are in fact a part of a bigger picture of how we think as Christians, how we have a integrated worldview. So that was my first point here. The second point is that nothing gets better if evangelicals just shut up. And this is a conviction I really have deeply, that even if we say that there are so many misunderstandings connected with going into these ethical debates, so therefore I just want not participate. I think the result will not be any other result than we are invisible in the public square. We become invisible. As I have said, I've been fairly active in Norway in different debates. But I have never experienced a journalist calling me and saying, "We don't know what to talk about in today's show. Would you prefer to talk about the importance of Easter? Or would you prefer discussing abortion?" That's not what's happening. What's happening is a journalist calling me and saying, "This is the topic. Should we change something in the Norwegian rule about abortion? Would you come or would you not?" That's the context of the debate. And if I say, "No, I will not come," the discussion will still be, but perhaps without a Christian perspective. So do we gain something? Some would say, well, we gained that people will not think that Christianity is about some specific convictions in ethical topics. And then it will be easier to present the gospel. Well, I simply don't think that is the situation. At least it's more complicated. And I give you two reasons for that. First, if I shut up, if fellow evangelicals in Norwegian shut up and don't say anything about same-sex marriage or abortion or something similar, more liberal Christians will surely articulate their view on these topics. And they will present their view as the modern, thoughtful, compassionate Christian way of thinking. So then new misunderstandings will arrive. Evangelicals will experience then that when we meet people, they will think that all Christians are liberal when it comes to these topics. Is that something we can accept? Or will it just cause more problems? And second, I think we will have to, at least sometimes, say something about our view when our right to preserve a classical Christian perspective on the topic are being attacked. And that will typically happen when someone argues that it's harmful for young people, it's harmful for children to attend a school or a church or something like that where you have a classical view, for example, marriage. And I think we are hearing more and more like that in our secular context. It's so harmful that young people hear a classical Christian perspective on this topic, so we should try to reduce the influence of those schools, or we should take away the government funding, or we should present more problems in a way for those Christian organizations or those Christian churches. And in such a situation, I think it simply does not make sense to shut up and to think that we should not defend ourselves. We should not try to explain that our perspective is balanced, it's healthy, it doesn't harm young people, and so forth. So it simply does not make sense to shut up. That was my second point here. And my third point on this section is that we should say something about Christianity not being about opinions and lifestyle. Because so far I have been defending the importance of defending the Christian perspective on ethical issues. But it doesn't mean that I does not see any pitfalls or problems when we do so. On the contrary, it is a big problem if people think that we are more preoccupied with ethical questions than anything else. If people think that Christians are foremost culture warriors instead of being evangelists, that is a problem as I see it. So I would like to elaborate a little bit on this. What does it mean to be a culture warrior in this context? Well, let me say it this way. For a Christian, for an evangelical Christian, more important than anything else is presenting the gospel so people get saved. For presenting the gospel, we have to talk about grace, forgiveness, justification, the eternal life in Christ. And when getting into all kind of other discussions, I think we risk that people think that we are more preoccupied with abortion than with sharing the gospel. And to me that means we have to try to comment on this exact topic, trying to say, if the possibility gets there, that our main issue is the gospel. And we know that the gospel is so much more than those ethical questions. And second, it's so important to underline that Christians should be preoccupied with a wide range of ethical topics. The Bible, for example, talks a lot about our responsibility to the poor, to the disadvantaged. And it's simply a tragedy if someone thinks that to evangelical Christians, it's more, it's so difficult that two men are living together than knowing that people are killed in Syria. And we should do what it takes to say that although we have our perspective on same-sex marriage or whatever, we are also preoccupied with people dying of hunger or in war or whatever like that. With other words, it's important to set our priorities straight and communicate our view carefully and nuanced. There are more to say than just we have to fight in the media. We have to do it in a certain way. We have to say something about Christianity. It's not mainly about opinions and lifestyle. It's about Jesus Christ as our Master, our Savior, and our only hope. And I think, and I have experienced it sometimes, that it's possible to say something about this also in those narrow debates. And perhaps we should also say, and this is a bit controversial because my topic is defending a Christian worldview when I say it, that Christianity is not primarily a worldview. I think it's important to defend a Christian worldview, but the most important thing in Christianity is not the worldview, it's Christ. It's having a relationship with Jesus Christ in our hearts. This faith implies a worldview, it leads to a worldview, but it's not the main core. And we have to remember that. Well, that was my section one. I have one section more. And the next section is concerned about how to address different topics in the public square without confirming prejudices, misunderstandings, like those I have mentioned. That Christianity is about lifestyle, about choosing some specific opinions in ethical questions. So I will try to say something about giving some advices, in fact, about how to address your audience, and the audience is a secular audience, how to address that audience in a good way, so you can communicate the worldview so it makes sense. It's difficult, but it's important. I live in Norway, and that is a heavily secularized society. And just to give you a little bit of context, I will explain that first. We have same-sex marriage, not just in the state, not just in Norway, but the same-sex marriage is also endorsed by the main church in Norway that was a state church until recently, a Lutheran state church, and the majority of that church supports marriage for same-sex couples. And we have had discussions for years about this. I live in a country where there are a lot of very outspoken atheists. And I live in a country where a lot of people seems to think that being Christians, or religious in general, it's all about rejecting rationality and just being old-fashioned, just accepting old news, in a way. And perhaps you live in a different situation. I guess Norway is among the most secular countries in Europe, perhaps except for Denmark and Sweden. And I will now present some advices when communicating the Christian worldview in such a secular culture. This does not mean that what I suggest is changing the gospel or changing the content of the Christian worldview. But when we are talking, we must consider the audience. We must consider their thinking, their worldview, their misunderstandings, their view about Christians. And we have to respond to the audience when we communicate. I will sum up this by saying that we ought to communicate our view by simultaneously addressing the misunderstandings secular people have towards Christianity, and by that it is possible, in addition, to comment on those narrower ethical topics, to communicate important aspects of the Christian worldview. Well, let me highlight four important things. First, We have to underline that we are all sinners. You should not judge. That seems to be a very important modern secular commandment. You should not judge. And people find judging incredibly offensive. It's upset people a lot. And I think we live in a society where saying something about how people live critically, that's so offensive that someone would call it hate speech. And Jesus said, don't judge. So it's not just a secular commandment. It's something in the Bible. And when we check out how he justifies this commandment, he says that it's all too easy for a person to be preoccupied with the little mote in the eye of our brother and forget the beam in our own eye. And I think it's important to reflect on that saying by Jesus. Not just to say that I'm not judging. Because I think every one of us has the ability to be more concerned about the mote in the eye of our brother and forget the beam. The beam, yeah, in our own eye. And in my situation as a heterosexual married man, it doesn't seem good if people think that I find a homosexual lifestyle, perhaps two men living faithfully together, if I find that much more problematic than a man cheating on his wife, then it could be that I'm judging, that I think that heterosexual sins are so small compared to homosexual sins. And it's important to underline that we are all sinners. And when it comes to sexuality, I think it's very, very important in our society to explain that we as Christians think that also heterosexuals are sexual sinners when we are having a broader perspective, when we are viewing the longings, the feelings, the urges of how we are. So when we talk about homosexuality, the main focus is about choosing a lifestyle. I'm not against homosexuality per se, because it's possible for a homosexual and a heterosexual to fight his temptations, to seek forgiveness for any sin. Arguing like this has increasingly become more and more difficult. The main response I get is that there is an intimate link between how we are, our identity, and how we live. That's the secular way of thinking. If you are a homosexual, you ought to live as a homosexual. Like if you are a heterosexual, you ought to live as a heterosexual. But in a Christian perspective, it's a basic conviction that there is a difference huge difference between having feelings, urges, longings, and how we live with those. But in our society, this have become very difficult to explain. But we have to do it, we have to try. So that was my first advice. Underline that we are all sinners, and as a part of that, try to explain the difference between the fact that we are on this earth, filled, every one of us, with longings, desires that are not good. But when we talk about ethics, we talk about how to deal with those. My next point is, no, let me say one more thing. For Christian, it goes without saying that every person is a sinner. And that I'm a Christian because I need cleansing. I need forgiveness every day. And perhaps we are thinking that, well, people should know this. I don't think in a post-Christian society that such a conviction is obvious. A lot of people really think that Christianity is all about living up to a certain standard. So we have to correct that. We have to present, because it's so important in the Christian worldview, that every person is lost without forgiveness every day. Grace from God every morning. My next advice is to try to explain in the public arena that every person is loved by God and created by Him, no matter what he thinks, no matter how he lives. When Christians talk about sex, about sin, and it's often about sex, yeah. When Christians talk about sin, we do so based on the conviction that God loves everyone. Okay? That's our conviction. God loves everyone. But I think that people in a post-Christian secular society is not always aware of that. So they may interpret the sentence, I just said we should underline, all people are sinners. They may interpret it like, all people are worthless. Because they don't know the Christian worldview. So when they hear sin, it's possible they hear, you are not worth anything. And that may also be the reason why people tend to think that Christianity is very depressing. It's a suppressing religion. Because you should go around feeling bad about yourself, period. So even though it might seem a bit off the mark and something people should know, well, I think we should often highlight that every person, regardless of his faith, his lifestyle, his choices, are loved by God. And I have found it helpful to distinguish between the love of God and the grace of God. And not because this division is very strong in the scripture. It's not. But because our society, and even in, sadly, in a lot of churches, people does not seem to see the difference at all between the love of God and the grace of God. So to spell this distinction out very clearly, I would say, God loves everyone, no matter what they believe and how they live, but His grace is only for those regretting their sins and seeking Him in repentance. And we have to communicate both. The love of God is something that every person should sense when we talk to them, even though they are opposing us in a discussion. And at the same time, the grace of God is only for those that repent, that believe. That was advice number two. Talk about or explain that every person is loved by God. My third point is a bit more complicated. And that advice is something like this. We have to think hard about the difference between law and ethics. Law and ethics. And that's a bit more complicated. When I have discussed questions about homosexuality, many people have responded by saying, why can't you just leave people alone and respect that others are thinking differently and live differently? Why just don't leave people alone? And some Christians will say something like this and justifying their view by referring to 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 13. I don't think we have time to read the whole passage, but the point of Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 13, we meet in verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? So someone thinks that we as evangelical Christians should talk about ethical convictions inside the church and nothing more, because we should not judge those outside. Let them just live as they please. So how do we respond to that? How would I respond to that? And let me add one aspect more. Some says, why don't just accept same-sex marriage? You don't have to accept it in the church, but why don't accept that that's the way the society is structured? It shouldn't be a problem in a pluralistic society that two men get married. Or why not accept abortion when those seeking abortion are not Christians? How do we respond to this? And as I will try to respond by three short points, you will see that I try to distinguish between ethics and law, between what's moral and what we should forbid. And it's a bit complicated, and perhaps someone would disagree too. But let me try to respond to these examples, to this way of thinking, in three parts. First, I am not saying no to abortion because as a Christian, I should be preoccupied with the sanctity of life, and that's all it is to that. It is important to protect small children. That's the obligation I have as a Christian and as a person. I should try to protect small children. And that means I should try to protect those also living in a woman's womb. And it's impossible to think that this is something I should just be preoccupied inside the church. I should try to protect every little child, protecting all life. So viewing abortion as a question that we could be clear upon in the church but shut up outside the church, I think it's impossible. We should be preoccupied with any person in a vulnerable situation. And sadly, a little child in secular countries in Europe living in a mother's womb is vulnerable. Point two. Although we don't want to force people to live as Christians, we are, as Christians, preoccupied with our society, and we want to protect and promote sound thinking, and we want to protect values we think are beneficial for all of us. So, for example, I think it's unfortunate to view a marriage as a gender-neutral institution, simply because a main purpose of marriage is to provide for children. And then we don't have a sound thinking if we say that a couple, the same-sex couple, is the same, living in the same kind of institution as a man and a woman being married. Children needs a father and a mother. That should be the way we think in a sound society. I have to accept that the majority in Norway thinks differently, but it's difficult just to shut up, because I think it's sound thinking for the society to promote marriage not as a gender-neutral institution. And thirdly, I will never deny grown-ups their right to reject the Christian perspective on sex and marriage. I have experienced many times people saying to me like this: why would you deny homosexual the possibility to experience love? Why would you deny them this gift of love or something like that? And I always try to respond by saying something like this: I'm not denying homosexual their right to live as they want. I'm not campaigning to put in the government's law that it should be forbidden for two men to live together. All I do is saying loudly that I do not support ethically their choice of lifestyle. And if I should forbid anything, I think I would start by forbidding adultery. And then you could move on. That's what I say to people that... And there are some Christians that perhaps would like to prohibit homosexual relationships or something like that. We know it's going on some places in Africa. And to them, I would say, well, then you should first at least prosecute men leaving their wives, cheating on their children, in fact. Well, yeah. And this comes down to, let's see the difference between law and ethics and try to explain that in those debates, because people also tend to mix them together. But it's difficult. It's not always easy to see clearly. When do we have a clear difference between law and ethics? Because sometimes, of course, we want to forbid things that is morally unacceptable. I'm happy to live in a country where stealing is forbidden and seen as immoral, an immoral act. My last point, my last advice is something like this. For a Christian, there is more to moral than do no harm and individual happiness trumps everything. There are more to moral than do no harm and individual happiness trumps everything. My two first advices are in some sense easy to communicate. Everyone is a sinner and God loves everyone. It's basic contentions in some sense. And I guess also it's not that difficult to say that something is immoral. It doesn't necessarily mean it should be a criminal act. But this point, this advice, this topic is very complicated to address. Because we have to comment on a typical secular worldview when it comes to ethical thinking. And I think one of the reasons that people often despise Christian perspective on ethics is they simply does not understand why it should be so complicated. They have two guidelines, perhaps, not more. Do no harm and individual happiness is what you guide, use as your guideline. So I often hear things like, two adults loving each other, do no harm, even if they are of the same sex. So stop criticizing those people. Or, you are taking away happiness of a person if you demand him to be in a marriage when the love has left. She may find love again. Why would you say that the sanctity of marriage is so important? Or, as have been a discussion in Norway for a couple of years, people say, handicapped people need intimacy. But some does not have the possibility to get a partner to get married or something like that. Why should not those get sexual happiness from someone providing a sexual service of some kind? Who is comfortable with that? Why should you be against it? And a problem with those rhetorical questions, with those attacks in a way on Christian perspective on ethics is that they do to some extent share premises that Christians share. We are not against happiness. It's important that we cherish people's search for happiness, of course. And it's relevant in the ethical discussion, also for Christians, it's relevant to discuss what's harming people. But we have to present more ethical navigation points. And here are some more that it's especially Christians and perhaps does not make much sense in a secular society. First, we don't accept a narrow, individualistic perspective of happiness. Sometimes we need to sacrifice our own happiness for a greater good. Like staying in a marriage out of respect for the promise we made and in respect for marriage as a lifelong commitment. And often in respect for our children. It could be the right thing to do to sacrifice your own individualistic happiness for a greater good. And even more specific Christian commitment. We believe in a God who have given his commandments out of love. So even though we don't clearly see a harm when someone is doing so or so, it may still harm our relationship with God. It may be that God see what the problem is, even if we don't see it. And we may live at odds with what God has created for us. In conclusion, the topic has been to communicate the Christian worldview in a public square. And I think it's important, but it's important, as I have mentioned, that Christianity is more about Jesus Christ as our Savior than about different ethical commitments. My conviction, nevertheless, is that it is possible to communicate exactly this, also when getting into these ethical debates. But it requires a thoughtful and deliberately way of participating in discussions and debates in the public square. Okay, thank you so much.